let's all stand and sing.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus.
Welcome each and every one of you to the service. My heart's prayer and desire is that you can just push everything aside and you can get what God has for you tonight. Amen. I believe He's got something great in store for your life. And if you can just push those things aside and focus on Him, amen, I believe there's a great blessing waiting for you. It's yours to claim. Amen. Just got to reach out and grab it. Amen. Let's sing that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open eyes of my heart, I want to see you.
Sing one more. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord, I need you, Lord, right now. I lift my head by your throne, 'cause I need you, Lord, I need you, Lord, right now. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord, we need you, Lord, right now. At your throne, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Sing it again now. I need you. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I lift my head and bow my knees and worship at your I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now.
Amen. As we change the order of our service, I'll let you have your seats as we mention some of these prayer requests. Many have been mentioned this morning, but we'll go over those again for those of you that might not have been here. Just want to continue to remember Sister Sheba in prayer. I believe she's at home streaming today. Want to remember the Coffees, Brother Wayne Coffee, Sister Faye, they're in Arkansas today. And we just want to, God would grant them traveling mercies, amen. Continue to remember Brother Alan Gunter, having severe back pain. Want to remember Brother Matt Cross as well, and his baby William. They're both not feeling well. If you would please remember my Aunt Sherry. She is also not feeling well. Keep her in your prayers. Remember Brother Stephen Coffey. I believe he's in Virginia. Also, Brother Peter Coffey is not with us this evening. Brother Falter was able to go home this evening, so that's a good report. I want to make sure that we remember, continue remembering him and Sister Falter in prayer, and Sister Becky. Family having to travel back and forth. God would grant them traveling mercies and give them strength to get through this. Amen. Don't forget the youth event at the Clayvilles. You can sign up for that in the library. It will be Saturday the 30th at 5 p.m. Information's in the library again. Amen. I'd like to ask Brother Anwar if he would come forward to take these needs before the Lord. Let's all stand. If we have any prayer requests by the uplifted of hands, amen. God knows your needs. Hold those in your heart before the Lord. Amen. Brother Anwar, thank you.
Let's bow our hearts. Our gracious Heavenly Father, It is certainly an honor and privilege to be in your presence, Lord Jesus, once again. And Lord Jesus, we all come with a great expectation in front of your throne, Lord Jesus, today. Especially, Lord Jesus, bringing all these needs, Lord Jesus. All the requests, Lord Jesus. Those who are sick in their body, Lord Jesus. Reach to them in the name of Lord Jesus Christ right now, Lord. Give them a healing touch, Lord. Restore them, Lord Jesus. You know them all, Lord Jesus. And with binding our faith together, Lord Jesus, we ask your mercy upon them all, Lord Jesus. All those are mentioned, and all those who are sitting are waiting for the healing touch, Lord Jesus. Grant them mercies, Lord. And those who are traveling, Lord Jesus, ask your blessing upon them. Bring them home safe, Lord. Lord, we are needy people in this body, Lord Jesus. You know our shortcomings. You know our weaknesses, Lord Jesus. In your precious name, we just count upon you, Lord. Knowing that you are the only one who can provide us and bring all the needs to you, Lord Jesus. Speak through your servant, Lord. Bring your word to us, Lord Jesus, that we may be able to say that how wonderful it was to be in your presence and eat the heavenly food, Lord. For we ask everything in your precious, mighty Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God.
Thank you, brother. Let's just sing that. We have a couple specials tonight. I believe Ashley, Sarah, and Mitchell have a special for us. You may have your seats as we sing this, if they'd be making their way forward. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Help me know you are.
We're going to start over again.
Let me start.
Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us. Like blazing wildfire, singing your name, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies. These hallelujahs be multiplied. Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfires, singing your name, God.
Special. And I believe Sister Anna Pritchard has one as well. She'd be making her way forward. I'd like to sing that song, I'm Amazed That You Love Me. Amen. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away once again now. Yes, I'm amazed that you love me. You care. let's all stand. We're going to take up our evening offering. We have a special offering tonight for the mission field. We'll be taking that up, offering up. So let's be mindful of that. Just know that your offerings and tithes go to further God's kingdom around the world. Amen. Brother Tom, would you lead us in prayer? Amen. Let's sing that song again, finishing in that I'm amazed.
I'm amazed that you love me. I've tried so hard to hide, and though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, I was covering up the secret tears I cried. And then one day someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died and purchased my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free. Sing it now. Oh, I'm amazed that you love me. Yes, it's true. There are days when I fail to you. Lord, you know the many times I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. And your ear is open every time I pray. Oh, no one else could ever care for me like you, Lord. Other friends have never been as close to me. I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever need. Sing it now. I'm amazed, yes, Lord, that you love me. Hallelujah. I'm amazed at how you care.
Pardon. Oh, Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you because you care for us and you show that in so many wonderful and varied ways. Bless, I pray now, this service tonight. Lord, there are many needs among us, as is usual. But Lord, we know that's only a temporary thing until we cross over on the other side. In eternity, Lord, we know all needs will be met, bodies will be changed, eternal life will be on display. But Lord, in this life, we have needs, we have concerns, we have burdens that we bear. The things, Lord, that we hold upon our hearts, and sometimes, Lord, only you know about them. And so we commit our every care to you tonight because that's what you taught us to do. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would have your way among us tonight, Lord, and minister to each one. Lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen us, Lord, in your service. We ask that you would just take complete control in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to ask you to take your Bibles tonight. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Keith, we'll wait on that one. And let's go to Psalm 142. We greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Good to have all of you here with us. Sister Buchanan, good to have you with us this evening again. Sister Tracy, good to have you here. Good to have the youths here. And each and every one. Sister Carol, we appreciate you driving the miles to come up here for service on the weekend. May the Lord bless you, and God will honor that effort, I believe. May the Lord richly bless you. Psalm 142, verse 1. A prayer when David was in the cave. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. And when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. David's just being honest here, right? He says, I poured out my complaint before God. And I, rather than go tell everybody in the church, he went and told God. Right? Rather than broadcasting it on Facebook, he just went to God and he said, Lord, I got a problem here. I don't understand. There's something that's happening and there's a situation here that I don't have any control over. And I just don't know what I'm supposed to do here. And he said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest my path, and in the way therein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked at my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors. They are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated tonight. Very quickly, let me just say that there was a little confusion, but we have our mission offering on the last Sunday of every month. Okay, it's the last Sunday of every month. And I apologize because I did not get a set of pictures to you that I really want to show you. And I told you before about in the southern part of Tanzania, northern part of Mozambique, and the eastern side of Malawi, right in that junction in Africa, there are many, many Swahili-speaking believers. And we've been asked to help supply Bibles to those people in that part of the world. And there's been some great missionary efforts going on there recently. Not only myself, but others have been involved in helping support pastors and preachers going through there. And so we've been asked to supply Bibles. So I'm sending over, I'm trying to raise $4,000 to send over Bibles to them. And the way we do that is, like we did in the past, we sent about $16,000 worth of Bibles over there before. And we can order directly from the Tanzania Bible Society, and then they will deliver wherever we want without any charge. So 100% of the funds goes to the delivery of the Bibles where we need them. And that's a great great asset to have in such a country like that. So that's the project that we're doing. So tonight's offering is a mission offering, and we're going to give that. We're going to dedicate that to the Bibles in Swahili. And if you want to add to that, you're certainly welcome to do it. You don't need to wait till the last Sunday of every month. You can give it any time and just mark it, and we'll make sure it gets there. And that's a great project for like a family or an individual or young person to do, be able to give Bibles to folks. And I'll tell you what, they really, really do appreciate the Bibles when they get them in their hands over there. They don't have Christian Bible stores, and they don't have CBD They don't have online resources where they can order Bibles at all. The only way they're probably going to get them is if a minister gives them to them or a missionary gives them to them. There's just no way. Brother Anwar, I'll tell you what it's like to live in a land where there's no Christian bookstores. And it's pretty scarce. So that's a great blessing to the people over there. All right. I need to apologize. I should have mentioned this morning, and I didn't do it. But I'm kind of operating at half speed here today with one of my knees a little bit messed up here. And yesterday at the family day, I was on the banks of the river here, myself and Brother Tom and Sister Ruth, and we were with the little kids who were fishing on the side of the creek there, and everybody was kind of coming and going, and the kids got in the water, and the center of that stream was very slimy and slippery, and it didn't look that way, but it sure was. And as we were fishing and moving along down the river there, Henry got out in the current and began to lose his balance a little bit because it slopes down out into the middle of the stream. And so he was kind of bouncing his way out towards the middle there and got into a little faster current than what he anticipated. And he turned a little bit sideways, and of course that pulled him, and he had his fishing pole in his hand. And his fishing pole kind of got away from him. Well, you know, I mean, that's a very important thing to a little guy. So he lunged after the fishing pole, and I saw him do it. And Sister Ruth actually had said something, and I saw him lunge there, and I made a step to go get him. And when I did, my foot slipped, and because I had a pair of I wasn't intending to go in the water, and I had a pair of like loafer shoes on, and they had no tread on them whatsoever, just smooth as this right here, and so I slipped on the rock and hit my knee, and then I looked and I saw Henry make that last lunge for the pole, and he went down, and he was in the middle of the current there. So I realized I got to get this guy because he's going to get away on me, and so I reached out and grabbed his foot and caught him there, and pulled him back in. And it was one of those things that happens in like 2.5 seconds, 3 seconds, but he was out in that current and he could not get back in, and he just had that momentary look on his face like, I'm in trouble. This is not the plan, and he just he's ready to sail out into the creek, and so I caught my first grandchild, and it was great, and so we got him in, and then my wife came back. She had just left for a second, and she came back and she said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I'm fine." I said, "But I hit my knee, banged my knee," and I didn't think very much of it, but when the adrenaline all stopped, everything started to begin to hurt fresh. And within an hour, I couldn't bend my knee. It was swollen that much, and it was bleeding. And had the medical crew came on the scene and gave me a Band-Aid. All we had was a Band-Aid, but Sister Ashley gave me a Band-Aid and stopped some bleeding there. But it was rough going home, and I had to get my chauffeur single to give me a run home. It drove me all the way to Virginia. And appreciated that, and took my truck back, and so that's why I'm holding on to the pulpit here. The boys offered to give me a chair tonight to sit down, but I said, I'm not that far gone. I might be hurting, but I'm not that far gone. So just forgive me for doing that today. That's why I'm kind of lean and funny. But we're thankful that the outcome was as it was. And that's just the mercies of God. Because, you know, in any time you do anything, anytime, you know, you're doing something good, the enemy is always there just to kind of cause stress and problems, you know. Let's take a little Bible study, though, if that's all right. Let's just kind of look at this subject again. I got a portion of this that I haven't brought you yet that I want to deal with. But I want to preamble this using these scriptures tonight here. And David, as I told you before, David was allowed to go through all kinds of things to voice the frustrations that human beings often go through, but they don't say. They don't express it. But David's very clear. He says, I poured out my complaint. He said, my spirit was overwhelmed within me. And that literally means, like Henry in the river, the river becomes stronger than you are. The feeling is it flows over you, and you lose control. You don't have the ability to fight back anymore. You're swept up in this wave of trouble or circumstances or torment or whatever else. And you feel like it's just too much for me. And sometimes life becomes too much. And like David says right here, he says, I looked at my right hand, I looked at my left hand. There was no man there who really I could relate to. Nobody was in David's spot. Nobody could relate to how David felt. He's an anointed king. He's supposed to be the next king of Israel. And here he is in a cave. And he's running from King Saul. And he's supposed to be on the same team as King Saul. And all of these things are happening to him here, and he feels like he has no man that would know me. That's the phrase he used. No man would know me. And he feels alone. The place he turns then is the right place, and that's to God. He said, I pour out my complaint before God, and I cry unto thee, O Lord. And he said, thou art my refuge and my portion. It's like Brother Branham had the Holy Spirit say to him that I am your portion in the land of the living. And so we are essentially, a lot of us are like icebergs. Meaning that when it comes to icebergs, you only see the tip of the iceberg in the water as it floats along. You don't see the majority of that iceberg. It's there, but you don't see it. You run into it like the Titanic did, you'll find out there's a whole lot underneath the water. And a whole lot of pretty tough stuff underneath the water. Well, we're a little bit like that. You know, we come to church and people see the tip of the iceberg. But we really don't see how each other lives. We don't know what it's like in our homes, for instance, very often, and how a family will live, and even how an individual will live. We don't see that very often because, you know, we tend not to broadcast that. You know, we're all personal and individual, and we have our privacy, and we certainly respect that. But in reality, all of us go through things that are below the water, and God sees it all. And you always have a right, and an opportunity to give those things to God. And just to say, Lord, I have a complaint, I have an issue, I got a sorrow, I got a burden here, and I want to give it to you. Because even though a lot of this is under the water, and nobody else in the world knows about it, nobody else in the church knows about it, pastor doesn't know about it, nobody else knows about it, you know it's there. And so therefore I give it to you. And God has ways of bringing it out. Sometimes he'll bring it out by speaking to you in a service like this. Sometimes he'll bring it out by sending a messenger your way. Sometimes he'll bring it out in the reading of the word. Sometimes he'll bring it out in the songs. You know, he has ways of ministering to all of us. And that's a great thing. Because without an outlet, without an avenue, people become very frustrated. People become very despondent. And people sometimes will become even violent. People in the world, you know, you can imagine how it must be for them, not having anywhere to turn, not having anyone to turn to, not having somebody who is closer than a friend to be able to cast your cares upon. And that's why so many people do drugs. And that's why so many people, will drink alcohol until they're numb. That's why people will cut themselves. That's why people will try to medicate themselves out of the blues that they're in and go through things. And, you know, it doesn't help. It doesn't stop it. It'll only silence it for a little while. But then, you know, it picks right back up again and the problems are there. Brother Branham said some problems are only masked by medication. And he said if the problem is not dealt with, he said the problem surfaces even worse after the medication is over. Now, we can't say all the time that, you know, no medication works under any circumstance. That's just not true. There are times when remedies will come in different forms, and we appreciate that and we understand that. I really do take a stand against people that say, well, hey, you know, it's all spiritual. You got a spiritual problem. You need a new birth. All of these things, otherwise you wouldn't feel despondent. You wouldn't feel alone. Well, you know, here's David, right? We could start there. We could go to Brother Branham. We could go to lots of examples of good people that Brother Branham dealt with who were believers, they were Christians, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet they had emotional problems or spiritual problems. None of us are immune from that. None of us are immune from that. As a matter of fact, well, I don't want to veer off here, but let's just take a look here at some of the things that are said. Brother Branham said, most people can profess Christianity seem to have such a hard struggling time to hold on. I believe it's because of lack of correct teaching of the Bible. And there's no such thing, he said, as holding on. In other words, if it's left up to us to hold ourselves on the line, in the faith, hold ourselves solid, good luck. Because some of you are going to have more success than others. Some of you are going to have no success at all. And it doesn't depend on that, because God knows better than that. The whole Christian principle is based upon rest, upon His arms and His strength and His ability. I read this letter on Wednesday night. This person had written to me and said, "We weren't meant to have peace in this life." And he said, and they said, "What about inward peace? I've always wanted true peace, like they say in the song, 'I've got peace like a river,' and to be happy, and to be happy and confident like most Christians are, or look to be. Because I haven't been able to overcome the shrinking feeling I have, or the great lack of confidence. I feel like either God has rejected me, or else I don't know how to pray right." And you can sense the frustration that this person has here, because sometimes we feel like our prayers are not getting through, because maybe there's some trick or some way that we're not reaching God. And yet, you know, it's comforting to me that when we read a psalm like Psalm 142, that's just a simple cry of David. "Lord, I got a complaint. I feel like on the left and on the right hand, there's no man that really understands, and so I'm coming to you." Our prayers don't need to be complicated. They don't need to be ornate. They don't need to be fancy. They don't need to be long. They don't need to be loud. They just need to be from the heart. And we need to pour those things out before God. And then there are times when people lack confidence. Lack confidence doesn't mean that a person is far from God. It only means that they lack confidence. And we need to deal with that subject of confidence a little bit more, because lack of confidence is an insecurity that a lot of people feel, and sometimes women will feel that even more than men. And so this person felt that way. And then this part of the question says, "The message has brought so much more knowledge. It has brought so much more fear. Before you become a Christian, you live godly and you felt happy." In other words, we knew very little and live the best we could and figured, okay. And you're in a church where people tell you, "Well, just do the best you can, and, you know, may God have mercy at the end of the road." But now, this person says, now you have to worry about predestination, foolish virgins, vessels of dishonor, deception. Is it possible to feel peaceful? Well, I have an answer for that last part, and say this. The last thing you need to worry about is predestination. The last thing you need to worry about is predestination. Because if what we understand about predestination is true, God's already made a decision, and there's nothing you can do to change it. And we have a confidence that God knows them that are His. And also Jesus said, "I hold them in my hand, and no man's able to pluck them out of my hand." Paul said in Romans 8, "God be for us, who can be against us?" And so God's got it all under control. And so now when we become a Christian, we don't have to worry about those doctrines. Sometimes, and let me say this, based on the last statement here Brother Branham made, I believe it's a lack of correct teaching. Sometimes ministers have made those doctrines an issue. They've made them a point of contention in the church. And they'll get up and say, "Well, everybody believes it this way, but I believe it this way." And sometimes people wind up just being confused about, well, what is right? And they back away. They tend to back away when that's done. Or, people will, there'll be a fuss in the church over some kind of a teaching there. A lot of these teachings are just straight Bible teaching, and they're nothing to be afraid of. And there's certainly nothing to be worried about, because there is a truth about all the biblical doctrines that are found in the Bible. And if we're not sure of any of them, you can ask the Lord and say, "Lord, if you don't mind, move on that pastor to make that teaching real clear so I'll get it straight and I won't have any concern about that anymore." Is that all right? You have the right to do that. Remember, now you're half of the gift that operates here. So if you have a need and you're saying, "You know what, I really don't understand about, the foolish virgins or whatever. Lord, if you don't mind, just lay that on the pastor's heart or minister's heart, guest minister, and let's just clear that up." You have a right to do that. But for sure, you don't have to fear any teaching in the Bible, because the teachings of the Bible are your friend. They're good. They're positive. It's the truth. And the truth sets you free. And so you don't need to worry about any of it. We need to ask the Lord to give us understanding of all of those teachings. But we certainly don't need to worry about them like they're going to hurt us some way. And the Bible says, if we are in any other way other-minded, in other words, if we're in any way misguided about that, the Lord shall direct you into the truth of the matter. And I'm paraphrasing. So we should ask the Lord to do that. Lord, if I don't understand anything right, then guide me to the right understanding. Because God would defeat His purpose if He predestinated you on one hand and then had somebody teach you something incorrect on the other hand and not correct that. In other words, we lost out because we had wrong teaching somehow. God's better organized than that. He's under better control than that. And so He's going to guide us into all truth. And we just need to trust that. But for sure, you don't need to worry about the teachings of the Bible. You don't need to worry about the teachings of the message. I believe we'll know everything we need to know before we get out of here. I believe we'll know everything we need to know before we get out of here. Let me say it again. I believe we'll know everything we need to know before we get out of here. And if you're wrong on any of it, trust the Lord will straighten you out. I believe that He will. You know why? Because He loves you and He cares for you. So we don't need to worry about the teachings of the Bible. And it is more than just, you know, living right, good luck, hope you make it. God's got a plan. God's got a program. And we want to certainly get in line with that. But this is true, too. Satan will constantly punch at you until you're finished here on the earth. Remember that. You'll never have a time when there's... You'll never have a time, but what there's a punching going on all the time because you're in a battle. We didn't ask to come into a picnic. So that's an ongoing thing. That's a struggle that we all face. Brother Branham did, all the way back down to the least among us. And so there are promises in the Scripture, and this is a repeat, so I'm just going to flip over here and review this first point here. And these are things that we can do. Number one, we can talk to God. We can talk to God, Brother Branham said, like Moses did. He said when Moses took off his shoes, he stopped at the burning bush. God was getting his attention. He got it. God talked to Moses, and Moses communed back and forth with God. And Moses, you know, gave God his hesitation, said that I'm not a man of words. I'm not a man of keen speech here, but Lord, you know, I hope you know what you're doing. He said, hey, I've got Aaron already chosen here and given you a brother who's an eloquent speaker. And, you know, they talked it out. And it's okay for you to go to God and to talk it out. We looked at this word in the Hebrew, which is the word for prayer, meaning to reconcile and to judge. Whenever people go to God, especially people who are down, they might be depressed or oppressed by something. They might be feeling lack of confidence. And they go to God and they begin to say right away, my goodness, who am I that God would listen to me? Who am I that God would speak to me? Look at the mistakes that I've made. Look at the problems that I have in my life. Why should God listen to me? And you know what? You're probably right. But then we got to look at the other side. And the other side is how God looks at you. And He looks at you through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you stand justified as though you never did it in the first place. And we got the letter. We got the word. We got the teaching on it that proves that His word matters more than your assessment of yourself. And if you go by your assessment of yourself, you will probably remain defeated all of your life. So, when we go to God in prayer, we look two ways at the same time, but we're going to let God's word win and find ourselves in that place. Also, as well, we should pray, because if we don't pray, we'll fall into a channel of thinking by which I label fatalistic. When we think fatalistically, we think that there are events that are predetermined, no need to pray, God's already got it set. You know what? I'm just going to carry on and do what I normally do. God doesn't want you to think that way. We have lots of examples in the Bible where prayer matters and prayer changes things. There are lots of statements and quotes where people push through and it made a difference in their lives. And that's the way that Brother Branham taught it. He said that we should come to God with a zeal and a passion, come to God with a fervency. Let me tell you something. God knows how to turn up the heat in your life so you will pray more passionately than what you ordinarily would. You get a mom who's got a sick child. You watch her pray. She'll pray differently when her child is not well. You remember that Mexican woman who came to Brother Branham and, she was causing a stir trying to get that baby. That baby was dead. And she was trying to get to Brother Branham. And Brother Branham said to Billy Paul, he said, send Brother Moore down, because Brother Moore kind of looked like Brother Branham with the balding head. And he said, send Brother Moore down to pray for him. That nothing doing. Brother Moore went down to pray for that lady, nothing doing. And she was crawling under the legs of those deacons and the ushers and going over the top of them and so forth and disrupting things to the point where, Brother Bam's drawn to this. And then he sees the vision, sees the baby talking. And he says, hey, let her come through. If she had a fatalistic attitude, she would have said, well, hey, you know, the baby's dead. And she would have given up. But that was an untimely death. And so she just had a passion to reach that prophet. And Brother Bram saw that baby alive. And, of course, he prayed for her. And the baby comes alive. And they had the doctor's certificate for it. And so we should not ever be fatalistic in terms of, the desperation that's needed to reach out to God. If God tells you to be content with something, that's different. You remember when Sister Stadscliffe had a baby who died, a little child who died. And they came to Brother Branham. He was a chaplain in Germany with the American forces. And their son had passed away. And they came to Brother Branham. And they said, we have an Air Force plane waiting on the runway to bring you to Germany to pray for this child. We told the doctors to leave it alone. Leave it in the hospital until we get a word from God. And they came to Brother Branham and they contacted him and told him the whole story. Brother Branham knew Brother Stadscliffe very well. And Brother Branham goes to prayer because he says, I don't know what God's doing here. A death of a child is an untimely death. So I'm just going to wait on God. He begins to pray. Takes a couple of days. And Brother Branham finally in a vision, he sees this light leaving the earth and going into heaven. And it's kind of a trail of light going all the way through like a comet and going all the way and reaching into heaven. Brother Branham picks up the phone, calls Sister Stadscliffe, and he said, leave it alone. It's the hand of God. He said, I saw that child go all the way into heaven. That's what that light was. He said, leave it alone. That's God's doing. He said, probably later in life it would have messed up and done something different. But he said, I can tell you where that child is, and if I were you, I'd leave it alone. So they took their hand off it. That's not fatalism, folks. That's getting a word from the Lord. Those things happen because you have a prophet in the land, right? But this is different than fatalism. This is people who are taking prayer seriously. Jesus even elevates this problem in this situation. You remember the story when the man came to Jesus and had a boy, threw himself in the fire, and he was an epileptic. And when he came into the house and the disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Because the father brought the boy to the disciples and they prayed for him and nothing happened. And they asked him later and said, why couldn't we cast him out? And he said, because this kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. This is another level of prayer. And there are situations that arise in our lives, even today. This is not outdated. This is not past. This is not something that is unheard of. This is somebody who says, you know what? Ordinary prayer or ordinary laying on of hands might not be totally effective here. I need to go another level with God. And missing a meal, maybe fasting for a day or two or three, whatever it is that you feel led to do, and to mean business with God and to approach Him that way, and this is what Jesus says, and He tells us that's the reason why, because there are different levels of spiritual struggle that people go through, and some things are hard. Let's go to number two, and I just title this to change our ways. Now watch what Brother Branham says here, and we'll see where this takes us, because this really got interesting for me. God always makes a provided way, and we must follow it. It's good that God makes a way, but the fact that God makes a way is not the answer. Your answer comes in following the way God provides. If God gives instruction, the instructions are great, but they're not going to do you any good unless you follow it, right? We know we're supposed to go to church, right? It's good to know that. But it's not going to help you unless you go to church. So we must follow what God's way is. God made a provided way for the human race to escape the oncoming judgments. But when God makes a way and man refuses to walk in it, then if they miss it, it's not God's fault. God, before He was going to destroy the world, He built an ark, and God's got a messenger tonight called the Holy Spirit, and He's the Word, and He's the one that manifests the Word. But again, you must walk in the way. So it might have been true that you had another way of escape in the days of Noah, but I got news for you, it wouldn't have worked. And I don't doubt that there was lots of people who had other opinions about an oncoming flood and judgment and so forth back in the days of Noah, because as it was then, so is it now. People got all kinds of ideas, right? It's like elbows. Everybody's got a couple. You throw out a subject, everybody's got a couple of ideas on it, you know. But that doesn't really matter. God's provided way is the key thing. And following that way is the next key thing. Because it'll do you no good unless you follow God's way. So therefore, we have to look at our ways and compare them to God's way or what He's telling us. And if what He's telling us is contrary to our way, you've got to be willing now to make that decision and say, you know what? I'm going to have to lay down my way. Remember Naaman in the Bible, in the Old Testament, right? A man had leprosy. And his way was not to dip in the Jordan at all. He was looking for something a little more technical, a little more profound than the Jordan River. But he had to change. Because that was God's provided way, right? Like it or not, that was God's provided way. Brother Branham talking about Moses, he said that he tried to deliver the children of Israel in his own way. You can't do that. And that's what I'm saying tonight. Divine healing isn't based on some mental tantrum, neither oil out of somebody's hands, but divine healing is based upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the atonement. He was wounded for our transgressions. He bruised for our iniquity. So it's upon the atonement. So the emphasis comes off the minister. It comes off you, it comes off the show, and it goes on to the atonement and your faith in the atonement. That's where the emphasis is, and that's where healing is achieved, is when we have faith in the atonement. If healing only occurred when Brother Branham stood here, then God would be unjust to let Brother Branham die, right? If that's the only way he could get healed, God would then have to somehow let Brother Branham live to a couple of hundred years old. Because we'd have no other outlet of healing. But Brother Branham was not the outlet of healing. Brother Branham only reminded us through the gifts that he had in the ministry that he had, that healing was based on your faith in the atonement. And you know what? That atonement's still here. Because Brother Branham said, that's an eternal atonement. So the availability of your healing, the possibility of your healing, is still as real tonight as it was when Brother Branham stood here, as when Paul stood here, as when Jesus hung on the cross. Because it is an eternal atonement, and that's how divine healing is accomplished. And as long as we try to achieve a church for God, he says, we're going contrary against his will. We've got to let the Holy Spirit come into our lives, take over our lives, and let him have his way in your heart. So what we ought to be doing is praying this way and say, Lord, you come in and show me if my ways, my attitudes here, or my thought about this is contrary to your way. But show me that contrast, Lord. And if I need to adjust, give me the courage to do that. Give me the willingness to repent and get it right. Because a lot of people lay down conditions. Lord, if you do this, I'll do this. We need to come to God cleanly. And we need to say, okay, Lord, now I'll take your way. Sometimes God will let you sit there. Let me just say this to you, that sometimes the feelings of despondency that people have, when they go through a time of depression or oppression, the feeling of being in the valley or the feeling of being all alone is because they realize there's something about me that hasn't worked, even though I've tried. I've tried to be a certain thing, or I've tried to, kind of work things my own way. I've tried to keep up an image. And there are a lot of people who try to keep up an image in the church. The part of that iceberg that's above the water, they want everybody to see that just right. The bottom part might be full of turmoil, but they want this top part to be kind of looking real nice when everybody sees them. And there comes a time when you realize, you know what, this is not working. So Lord, I just need to lay this down. I need to lay down this pride. I need to lay down this religious arrogance I got. I need to, because it's not working. It's just not working. And the overturning, the destruction of that self, is not a bad thing. Because God will take the ruins of that and build the right thing. You understand what I'm saying? I think some of you understand what I'm saying. Because those are real feelings that we have. And we think, I'm so frustrated because I can't get it to work. I can't get it to work right. And everything is messed up and everything is bad and everything is negative. And it's like you're looking at everything through, you know, rose-colored glasses, and everything is tainted by how I see. And that's how depression kind of feels. Well, you know what? You may be, quite literally, wearing the wrong glasses. So we need to take that off. We need to die to self, as the Scripture says. Put off the old man. and put on the new man. So there's a putting off of that which doesn't work. Now, God heals in many ways, Brother Branham said. And the man asked me, what's your opinion of medicine, Brother Branham? And I said, well, God is the only one that can heal. As we've mentioned this many times, he said God heals by medicine, by love, by understanding, by care, by prayer, by miracles, and the whole thing. God's the healer. He's a healer in every realm, not just the realm of the physical. So what do we do? Number one, in changing our ways, we take on tasks or responsibilities in bite-sized chunks rather than feeling overwhelmed by, oh, I got to do all of this. I remember telling the boys when they were young, when they were faced with tasks to do, and they would say to me, oh, Dad, it's too much. You're giving us too much. And I always would say to them, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? So that's sometimes what we need to do, is kind of back off from the feeling that everything is so overwhelming, but take things one step at a time, one job at a time, one responsibility at a time, and we're just going to section this out a little bit instead of letting that wave overflow me. Like David said, you know, he felt overwhelmed because easily things can pile up. And there are sometimes when you need to let go of things because you can be taking on too much. You can be overwhelmed because you've taken on a little extra. And let me tell you, God never gives us too much to overwhelm us. God never gives us too much on the job description because that would be defeating his purpose if he gave us so much that we became frustrated. But there are times when we take on too much. And there are literally then, you know, times when you look at the whole thing and you say, I got to lay some of this down because I just literally can't do it all. I got to lay it down. But some people are driven. They're driven by feeling driven. They're driven by a sense of worth, that I'm only valuable when I'm doing everything for everybody, and I got my hand in all the pies, and I'm just busy, busy, busy. Sometimes God will slow you down when you get to times like that. Take advantage of the alone time, because there are times when we feel alone and you want to be alone. You want to get alone and stay alone. Take advantage of the alone time and use it for something edifying. To pray or to meditate. To read something good. Sometimes to be alone, to think about who can I call? Who can I turn to? Where can I go? Call me. If you're a reader, I got stuff for you to read. If you're a listener, I got stuff for you to listen to. If you want to talk about stuff, I got an ear. And I need to say this again, even though I've said it many times. I'm here for you. And I may seem busy because I'm a Gemini. Geminis do the work of two. Their sign on the horoscope scale is a twin. They do lots of stuff. So I'm never walking around here saying, I wish I had something to do. I was bored in my life one time. It took about 5 minutes. I was in grade 3, I think. And I quickly got rid of that. I mean, I had no time for that at all. I'm never bored. I'm never without stuff to do. But that doesn't mean that I'm too busy for you folks. If you want to email or call and talk, I'll be glad to do that. Be glad to do that. But when you're alone, you feel alone, take advantage of alone time. Read and edify yourself. Pray, build yourself up as best you can. Sometimes you just need to go out for a walk. You need to get out of your environment and do things a little bit differently. Sometimes you need to pray and just get alone with God. Like David did, poured out his complaint before God. And sometimes you might need to investigate the idea of talking to somebody who may help you in a certain situation. And that's an important thing, and that's a good thing. The third thing that I think is good to do is that you need to change the atmosphere around you. Because if you live in an atmosphere of unbelief, or you live in an atmosphere where the TV's on all the time, you probably need to change that atmosphere. Because, you know, there are certain things that you can have in your house that really, they're not positive at all. And they affect you. Even if you say, well, I got it on, and it's just in the background, and I don't listen to it. Well, if you don't listen to it, turn it off. I probably shouldn't have said that. Okay. But you understand what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit wants to bless you more than you want it. He's not going to come into every environment. He's not going to come into every atmosphere. So changing your atmosphere increases the likelihood that you're creating an atmosphere for Him to step into. Right? When you change the atmosphere for the better, you apply the token and get things out of your house. Because there may be things that are in your house that affect that household and affect the spiritual quality of the atmosphere there. And there are things that you might need to stop and say, Lord, if there's something in here that's not supposed to be in here, or my kids got, or I got, or something else, or I've kind of hooked into something here on the internet or whatever else, show me. And then, Lord, let me deal with that. Get that out. Because that affects things. There's a lot of spiritual warfare that goes on that we don't physically see, and we don't attribute to the way we feel, but it's there nonetheless. I noticed now recently, last week there was a headline, I didn't read the story, but there was a headline where the World Health Organization added gaming to the list of psychiatric disorders. Did you send me an article on that? There's several articles that are on that now where people become so involved in that, and they will play these unending games which are on all these multiple levels with all kinds of people around the world. They're all linked in, they play. They don't even change their clothes. They don't even go to sleep. They don't even nourish themselves. They're just caught up with this, and they become totally dysfunctional as a result of that. I don't think we have anybody here. At least you're all wearing something different than what you wore on Wednesday night, which is a positive sign. I'm glad for that. But the devil always wants you to take you to an excess. He always wants to take you over the edge and overboard. You know, we laugh at things like that. But let me tell you, there are people who are trapped. They're trapped in those traps. And they say, oh, it's just a game. It doesn't really matter. It's just a game. But you ask them, you know, sometimes it requires nothing short of a shock to get them to see themselves as they are. And you can tell them all day long, don't do that, don't spend so much time there, get away from the friendly community, you know, stop playing that game. It'll usually mean nothing to them until they see themselves in the condition that they're in. That's when change really occurs, and that's when repentance takes place, is when they see themselves in that spot. I'm pointing over this way. I hope I'm up. You guys okay? Good. But you have to change the atmosphere around you, and sometimes that takes an applying of the token or a reapplying of the token to put good things in there and displace the bad things that are there. Now, I need you to watch. Just give me a couple of minutes here. Let's see how far we can get with this. Brother Bram's talking to his sister in the prayer line. Sister, you got troubles, inward troubles. It's like the iceberg. Can't really see this now. But he's looking at this through the eyes of God, and he says, it's a nervous condition, mental nervousness. You feel like you're losing your mind. You're upset. It works on you. The worst time is the evening, and I see sometimes you go sit in a chair. You're doing something when you're praying, too. I believe you're washing the dishes and you're praying. So we got a Christian person here. We got a believing type person. When you heard about the meeting, you prayed then that you'd get a card, and your card would be a new number, and you'd come tonight, and your card was called. Now, do you believe God that would hear my prayer, that God will hear my prayer? Ask God. Do you believe if I would tell you then that it left you, you would know that I told you the truth because I told you the truth on this side, and it's bothering you, weary, and the sun looks gloomy, and everything seems like a phobia. You get scared at things. Everything creates fear for this person, and it isn't normal. That's not normal when everything causes fear. And you're wanting to get well, and I'm going to ask Jesus now to heal you, and I believe He'll do it. You've had quite a struggle in life anyhow. I don't have to say it because this is alive here, but you know what I'm speaking of. So she's got multiple things going on here He doesn't describe. These are personal things. These are inward things. These are happening. But remember now, this is a praying person. This is a person who's asking God, and he's seeing her praying in different spots in her house, you know, and looking at her. So this is not an unbeliever here. That's why I disdain the attitude where people will say someone's got an emotional issue going on in their life, and it's because they're not born again, and they're not praying, and they're not a believer. That's not always true. I disdain that attitude because I've just talked to too many people. And to just give it a blanket, you know, description and say that this is the way that it is, I'll tell you, sometimes that's a really disheartening thing for a person who's struggling emotionally, come through a prayer line and have some preacher say, "Sister, you need to be born again, bless God, and go out and get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." You know what? They might be born again. They might have been correctly baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for someone now to say, who's in authority, to say, "You don't have what you think you have," that person's going to be more deceived. We're better off probably taking a little bit of time to listen to that person's case and say, "Tell me what's going on. What's happening?" And that's, anyway. I had to preach on attitudes if I keep going here. But he says, you know what I'm speaking of. There are things that are here. Because, you know what? Let me come back for a minute. There's nowhere where Brother Branham belittles those people because they're struggling with inward problems. There's nowhere. Brother Branham never says to those people, "Shame on you for having inward problems. Shame on you for going to a doctor or going to a counselor and asking for help here." Hey, the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's help. We don't need to always run to one. Medicine doesn't always help. But you know what? God's a healer, and God's interested in what you're going through. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person or not a spiritual person because you're going through things. Anyway, I didn't want to preach on attitudes, so I better quit. He prays, "Our Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, look down through the stream of time. You're so lovely and kind. Our sister standing here, bound by an oppression of Satan. Foul spirits have tried to put pride on her." Now, he's seeing stuff that he's not talking about here. She's got a problem with pride in here too. "But thou art here to remove this curse of the enemy. Help me, dear God." This duel of faith against the enemy. And he prays and goes on a little bit further. He said, "I was trying to get her in the right mental attitude. She wouldn't have to be prayed for. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass." Watch what he says. "And every seed will bring forth of its kind. If you need salvation, the seed's here. If you need healing, the seed, here's the seed in the Word. And the Word is a seed. Put it in your heart. Don't dig it up every morning to see if it sprouted. Put it in there and leave it there. It's God's business to bring forth the harvest. You just leave it there and water it by faith and praise God every day, thanking God for it." What's he trying to do? He's trying to take this woman's spirit that's down here because she's got the inward trouble and lift it up here. Because then she can see, you know what? There are promises that are available to me. And if we need salvation, there's seed is there. If we need healing, the seed is there. And so we want to encourage the sister to reach out for that. And I'm trying to get her into that right mental attitude. Because nothing's going to happen if she stays down here. But if I can lift her up into this attitude right here, he says, that right mental attitude will bring the promises of God to pass. Hello? Sometimes what a person who's down here needs is somebody to encourage them and lift them up rather than say, "Shame on you for being down there." Brother Bram's approach to this was, let's talk to God. Let's pray. Let's do this. And sister, you got troubles. We can see that. And here she is bound by these spirits and aggressive spirits oppressed of Satan. And he's trying to catch her spirit and bring it up a little bit because she's bound to catch it easier up here than down here. Down here you see nothing but the bottom of the hole. But up here she can look around and she can see, you know what? There's a whole field full of good seeds that are planted out there. And it's God's business to bring that forth. I just need to plant the right seed in here and leave it there and water it by faith and praise God every morning, thanking God for it. Well, that's a different attitude than being down here in the valley, right? You see what he's doing. He's trying to encourage her and lift her up a little bit and say good things, positive things in here. That'll bring a different harvest in her life. That's what he's trying to do. I think that's a good piece of advice. I can hear some of Jairus' church members say, "Where are you going?" "I'm going to find Jesus." "Well, looky here, don't disgrace our church by going to that person over there to fool with such a fanatic." But Jairus had a need, and the baby was dying, and the doctor had done all he could. He must contact God, and when a man gets desperate like that, he's going to change his conduct. He's going to change his way. He's got an order of doing things. He's got a job. He's got a priesthood and so forth. But now the situation, the circumstances are calling for a different kind of action. So rather than let this get worse, now he's got to go find Jesus, because to him, that's the closest visible manifestation of a supernatural God I've ever seen, and I can't argue with it, and you know what? I got a need. And he goes to that, and he says, I'm willing to forsake it all to go to that, and to lay it all down, lay my ministry down, lay my 401k down, lay it all down. I'm willing to forsake the my job and everything else. He said that, and Brother Bam said, that's where I had to get one time when he went to the Mayo Clinic. He said, I got desperate and I found him. I'm not condemning Jairus. He said, I'm one with him. There comes a time when, you know what, everybody has done everything they possibly can, and you got to just pull out the stops and go to God, and it becomes a desperate thing. And that's not a bad thing. Now, Moses got 120 years old, Brother Ram says. One day he needed a place that he could die. God provided that for him. He climbed up on the rock and died. Needed pallbearers. God provided angels. And if we'll walk in God's provided way, God will provide everything that we have need of. God provides. No matter what the circumstances are, God provides. You believe that? No matter what the circumstances are, He provides. Let's all say it together. No matter what the circumstances are, He provides. Half you said it. Let's have everybody. No matter what the circumstances are, He provides. Well, that would include you, right? That would include me. So no matter who comes to you, when you look in the mirror, you may look with a defeatist, fatalistic attitude that says, nothing's going to change. You need to remember what you just said. No matter what the circumstances are, He provides. God will provide. God will do things above and beyond what you ask or think. So, like as we read in the opening psalm here, David said, I cried with my voice. All I have left is my voice. My voice unto the Lord, and I made my supplication. I poured out my complaint and gave it to God. Now, I have flat run out of time here. So if you don't mind, let me just, if I could just do this for a second here, let me just, and I can't do this cleanly, I just want to jump over towards the end of the, there's a little lesson in here that I want to give you, and these pictures are going to say, no, don't stop. I'll come back to that, because that's a just a little side note that I wanted to bring to you here out of the Scriptures to just prove a point. Brother Branham assures us, he said, you should be aware of how Satan attacks. And the way that he does most often is to disbelieve God's Word. That's his attack. Satan will do everything he possibly can to try to get you to disbelieve the promises that are there for you. To disbelieve that God could actually be thinking about you in making those promises. And that God could actually be mindful of you in the despondency you feel. Because many times you feel alone, you also feel alone from God's presence too. You don't feel like anyone cares. You don't feel like you have anyone to turn to. You don't feel like you could reach out to anybody. And we know, technically, we know on paper, he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. But sometimes, you know, we feel that just that sense of, God, if you only had skin on you and I could touch you, that would be better. That's when we need each other. But there are times when Satan will make you believe, hey, no one's around, no one cares, no one understands, God is not even here. And you're all alone. And he'll make you disbelieve God's word. That's the attack. He says, then you can see the greatest battle that's ever fought. There's only two forces, and that's Satan and God. And Satan's weapon against you, he said, what is it? It's to try to get you to disbelieve your weapon. And if he can get you to disbelieve your weapon is equivalent, he said, if he gets you to believe that your weapon is not strong enough, then he'll disarm you. Brother Branham could use it, someone else could use it, but you can't use it because you're not strong enough. Or the weapon's not good enough. That's what he would like you to make you believe. But you know, you need to kind of reinforce in your mind that God's people in the Bible did some pretty extraordinary things with some pretty flimsy weapons they had in their hand, like Samson with the jawbone of an ass, right? Or Gideon, or not Gideon, begins with G. With the ox goad. Shamgar. That's a G. And he had an ox goad, and he went out there against the enemy. All he had was an ox goad, an animal to punch the oxen, or a tool to punch the oxen with, and he destroyed 600 Philistines, right? Killed them all. And so, you're not alone if you feel like I got flimsy tools. I don't have much in my hand to bring. I don't have much left in the arsenal. I've kind of used it all up, Lord, and I don't really have anything in my hand. Hey, take what you got and use it. If it's a little stone, if it's a little cross, if it's a little quote or whatever else, take that and watch God use that against the enemy and give you victory over the battles that you face. God will do it. But you got to think about this. You got to sit down and say, you know what? I don't have much. I mean, I can't sing much, can't write songs, and can't preach much, you know, or whatever else. Take what you have. Take a Bible verse and memorize it. Take something or a little quote or a paragraph and memorize it. Keep it with you. Put it in your wallet and keep it and say, hey, this is something that I can remind myself of that God said about me that's true because God said it, not because I said it. And it's true not because I feel it, but because God said it. This is not me, this is him. This is something that God wants me to know, and God wants me to use as a weapon against the hand of the enemy that comes against me. And when we do that, let me tell you, God's got lots of weapons. God's got lots of promises that you can use. He'll give you more. But sit down and think about this and say, what am I going to have? What am I going to have on my phone that I can always refer to? What am I always going to carry with me that I have? I carry a prayer cloth with me. I never go anywhere without it. I always have it. I have the scripture verses that go with that. It's all beat up and everything else, but I always have it with me because I believe in it. I've seen God do great things. And this is a piece of Brother Bram's suit that Billy Paul gave me, and I've carried it for years and years and years. Saw miracles take place as a result of that. There's just some things that all of us have we hold on to that, they're inspiring. They give us a little inspiration. And I'm not Brother Branham, and I'm not trying to be like Brother Branham. But you know what? God can do great things through very simple people. And I believe that. If God can do that through someone like Brother Branham, maybe God will use me to do something, you know, for somebody else. And that's an inspiring thing. And I carry it because when my mom died of cancer, and I was in the room with her when she died and she left this world. And when it happened, the moment that it happened, is I don't think I've ever told you, it's kind of just a personal moment. My brothers and my sister were there in the room, and I remember looking around, and I thought for a minute that it was winter time, and I remember looking around thinking somebody opened the window because it was like a rush of air. And it was an old hospital that she was in, an old cancer ward that she was in, and there was nobody opened the window, but it was like a breath of the Holy Spirit came through and just picked her up and took her off. Died a horrible death. And I thought to myself then, I just said, Lord, if you will help me in some way, I'll do everything I can to make sure that nobody goes down this route. If I can do anything to help somebody have faith to overcome sickness and disease and whatever else, I said, help me to do that, Lord. Help me to find a way to do that, inspire people and build people's faith up and so forth. I just kind of made that my own personal prayer back then. And so I took that prayer cloth that Brother Billy Paul had given me, and I cut it in half. It's only a little one, but I cut it in half. I keep half at home, and I keep the other half with me all the time because I've seen it to be just a wonderful tool. It's a weapon. Whatever I can use as a weapon against the enemy, I'm going to use it. We do all of that by God's grace, not because we have strength, but we know one who does have strength. And so I'm just going to cast this on him every time. I'm just going to give it to him. And when we do that, when we practice that, we let off the pressure. We commit our case to God and go on as if it was all over. We don't build up pressure. It lets off pressure when you do that. You say, well, I'm so worried, Brother Branham. I just don't know. He said, let off the pressure. And here's the piece of advice I'll leave you with. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And don't you worry about your cares. That's his business. Sister Carol, you got cares? Brother Ben, you got cares? Things on your mind? Got cares? Got cares? Who here has got cares or burdens or problems? Brother Bram said, you know what? They're not your business at all. We hang on to them like it's life or death, right? We hang on to them like, my goodness, that's me. That's who I am. I got these problems. Hey, he says, they're his business. The moment you give them to him, they're his business. You want to hang on to them, you can. But they're really his business. And he's a good businessman. He knows how to deal with things. Keith, come on. He knows how to deal with your cares. He knows how to... My goodness, he's an untier of knots. He's a sorter out of all the complex problems that we could face in life. He's one who's able to heal your body. He can give you peace in your heart. He can even give you the words to say to your teenager to help them think a little more clear, a little more straight. He's the one who's able to restore peace in a household when things are in a turmoil. He's able to give a word between families in the church when there's turmoil or disruption. After all, hey, we're human. And Satan will come in any every way he possibly can to cause turmoil. Emotional, spiritual upset. Because Satan doesn't want us to go forward with the word. He doesn't want us to go closer in rapturing faith to the change of our body. He doesn't want to see you blessed and happy and rejoicing and holding your hands in the air and thanking God for what he's given you. So he'll bring upset. He'll bring upset between families. He'll bring upset in your mind. He'll bring upset at your work. He'll bring upset any way he possibly can. Cause things to happen in the government, in the country, among nations here. We kind of see this thing, this cloud hanging over us here. And you get this melancholy feeling, you know, that you're living. Then your pastor comes out and talks about earthquakes and volcanoes. We're right on the edge of all of it. You know, and you kind of, my goodness, where do we turn? Well, Brother Branham says, the thing for you to do when you come to the place where you got cares and you got an overabundance of cares, you need to understand something. They're not even your business. You give them to God. They're his business. I'll take care of that. He said, I'll take care of that. I'll carry that. Take my yoke upon you. It's a whole lot easier, a whole lot lighter. Trouble is, it sounds too simple. It sounds too good, doesn't it? Simple or complicated is still true because it's God's word. I'll take it. I'll take his way. Because what he wants us to do is change our ways and take his way. He's got it all in control. That's the only line I know. Got it all in control. Way down in my soul. Let's stand. He's got it all in control. Sing it again now. God's got it all in control. Got it all in control. He puts that reassurance deep down in my soul. He's got it all in control. Sing it again now. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Puts that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. Key of F? Are you in the key of F there? More than I surrender, lighter my load. More than I release my cares, more he takes myself, more He lifts me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love You more. Sing it again now. To sing that again, and I'd like to pray with you. As we sing this, I'd like you all, if you don't mind, just close your eyes. And for anybody who's got something you'd like to give to God, I want you just to raise your hands and say, Lord, I'm giving You this, and I'm asking You to just deal with my heart and help me change my ways and help me just to know what You want me to do. Lord. Just give it to Him and practice that, giving it to Him. Lord, I believe Your word. I want to use the weapons You've given me. So we're going to sing that, and we're going to pray with you tonight, and we're going to just worship a little bit tonight before we go. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the theme close now. Lord Jesus, It's a very simple thing, Lord, for us to just raise our hands. But, Lord, you know sometimes the turmoil, the frustrations, and the loneliness we feel sometimes. We feel like we have nobody to turn to. And in just this simple, quiet moment at the end of our day, we just want to release this problem into your care. We want to lay this at your feet. Because you've said this is your business, not mine. But I've held on to this now for a while. But I want to let it go. I want you, Lord, to sort through this. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm not understanding something just right. But I'm going to trust now that this is your business to help me understand. And I let it go. I let it go to you. By our raised hands tonight, we release it into your care. And say, Lord Jesus, just be merciful to me, a sinner saved by the grace of God. That, Lord, I can even approach you today. We look at ourselves and then we look at the sacrifice you made for us, Lord. And we're going to take your word over our word. We're going to take your assessment of us over our assessment of us. And we're going to approach the throne of grace with confidence. And call upon our high priest tonight who's waiting to be called upon. Lord, make my problem your business. Make this thing I'm going through your business, Lord. Between us, we believe, Lord, you have an answer. Between us, we believe you can bring peace and pour oil upon the troubled waters in our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name, I commit the people to you. Pray that your Holy Spirit would reach out in mercy and touch each one. Those that are listening by way of the internet, Lord, we commit them to you and ask for your blessing upon each one. We love you. Thank you. We thank you for the gracious example of a prophet who came in his last day, dealt with people who had inward troubles so gently, didn't say it all, didn't broadcast it all, but gave them a hope, gave them something to hang on to when they feel like they're sinking all alone. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that you'd minister to each one. Draw near to us, Lord, I pray, and just help us where we are. We love you and we thank you. We ask forgiveness for our mistakes and our failures. And Lord, may nothing stand in the way of your healing virtue to flow to us. And we'll give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And amen. What are you playing? I give my life completely to you, Lord. Fill me with your hearts. Make them all brand new and change my life. Let me live in all that's true. I just want to think like you. So take me and mold me. Teach me to be still. Let me live in all that's true. I just want to think like you and take. You know what? I really firmly believe there's healing in an atmosphere like this. And it's good to be here. It's just good to be among God's people. And it's good when His Spirit comes and changes the atmosphere and does things in our hearts. You need to say, Lord, I don't want it just when I'm here in the building. I want to live this. I want to take this with me. I want to have this in the car going home, and I want to have it tomorrow at work, and I want to have it when the boss comes down on me, and I want to have it when my kids get me all frustrated and everything else. I want to live this, Lord. And there's a yearning in our hearts to live that way. There's a yearning among us to live that way. And I'll guarantee you, that's what heaven's going to be like. There's just no ending to it. It just gets better and greater and greater. Wow, what a great time. What a wonderful time. May God bless you this week. And we just trust that the Lord will bless you and enrich you. And we look forward to seeing you again on next weekend. We won't have a service on July 4th, which will be next Wednesday night. Not this Wednesday, right? It'll be the next Wednesday night. We won't have service on that Wednesday night because it's a holiday and there'll be people that will be around and so forth. So, but we'll see you on next weekend, Lord willing, and may the Lord richly bless you tonight as you go. What were you playing there? Have your way. God bless you as you go tonight. I gotta sit down. If you sing for us, have your way.
Holy Spirit, fill our heart, have your way. Oh, have your way.
just have your